Time to catch up on news from rural and regional areas. Our country driver tonight is Lydia Burton. She's the host of the ABC's Country Hour in the Northern Territory, and she's, well, she's my guest right now. Lydia, welcome.
Thank you so much, PK, for having me.
So last night on ABC News with me on National Rap, we heard the Triple R Network CEO, Jackie Jarvis, talk about the Me Too movement and essentially the role it's now having in rural and regional Australia. Did any of her marks ring true for you as a regional journalist working in the Northern Territory?
Well, look, I think to some degree I've been quite lucky in my job. I've never felt totally uncomfortable in a situation, you know, like some people have. But then, you know, part of that conversation is around just some of those snarky little comments that are made about, you know, young girly, you know, those sorts of things. While it's not to the degree, you know, that some people unfortunately have faced, I think it's just undermining young women in rural industries, you know, that you know, we have experienced. I certainly have. But yeah, I know for a fact that these things are happening. And I think broadly around agriculture, it's a shameful thing that agriculture is coming to terms with and realising that this is an issue and it's something that needs to be stamped out right now.
A study conducted in 2015 threw up some pretty concerning results about the experiences women were having working in rural areas. What did it find?
Well, unfortunately, it found that of all industries in rural and regional workplaces, it's actually agriculture that's the most problematic. So it found that 93% of the women surveyed that worked in agriculture reported that they had experienced some kind of sexual harassment. 93% of, you know, over 100, it was a sample size of women surveyed. It was 107 women, and 93% of them had experienced some kind of harassment, you know, to that degree. So shocking figures that came out of that survey. And then if you look more broadly away from agriculture and look at regional and rural workforces, 70% of women had experienced these things.
Yeah, it's pretty alarming figures, that's no doubt about it. All right, let's move on to other news. And a new report says the Australian market is facing uncertainty over coal imports. What's happening?
Yeah, so this is specifically talking about, you know, imports to China, and the fact that China has shut the door on imports from Australia. And the reason behind this is that basically what they've found is that power companies in China have, you know, a whole month's worth of coal in stockpiles. And so they've actually said, thanks, Australia, we've got more than we need for the next little while. We're going to put a hold on all imports of Australian coal until early 2019. And at this stage, they haven't given a date. So it's kind of indefinitely, but it's expected that China might come looking for coal from us again mid-2019. So essentially the market's kind of shut the door indefinitely.
But this report seems to be an anomaly, right? There are others that contradict these findings.
Yeah, that's right. So if you look at the International Energy Agency, the New South Wales Mineral Council, certainly the Northern Territory Minerals Council, Queensland, they have all sort of been saying that, you know, things are good. We forecast strong growth and demand from international markets. So this is quite, you know, in contrast to what has been forecast. But there is still some belief that this is, you know, one market. There is still demand from growing markets like Japan, Taiwan, Korea, that they should continue to be strong. But, you know, China is a significant market. We're talking about a market that takes like 25% of Australia's thermal coal. So it's a big one.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, finally, have you ever eaten a durian?
Not willingly, I haven't, PK.
Not willingly?
The other week,
tell me
no.
more.
So in the Northern Territory, we've had a story recently about a farming family. They grow durians. They're the biggest durian farm in Australia, actually. Anyway, you know, as part of research, we, of course, had to try some of this produce that we're talking about. I hadn't tried it before, and I was told I was not allowed to talk about durians, wasn't allowed to do the story, if I didn't try it. So they cracked it open. I don't know if you've smelt a durian.
But I actually haven't. I am so intrigued. Tell me.
It's, you know, there's so many, there's like, it's the blue cheese of fruit. It's, you know, it's like rotten socks with garlic mixed with, you know, human BO. When you first crack it, it's not that bad. But when you touch it and start sniffing it, it's just like, it's like fermented fruit, I guess. That's what it smells like. It's like rotten. And anyway, I decided that I'd put the smallest, you know, marble-sized piece of durian in my mouth. I swallowed it straight away, and the texture is like an oyster. It's like jelly. It's quite slippery, and they say it's quite creamy. Anyway, I could not get rid of that smell off my hands, out of my mouth for the whole day. I'm not sure I'll be racing out to buy one.
Okay, but the taste, okay, like it stinks, but does it taste then delicious?
No, it tastes exactly how it smells.
Oh, no.
So, but then someone said to me, there's durian ice cream. And I thought, well, that I could try, I reckon, because it is quite creamy. And I think if it was in ice cream, you know, it's mixed, the smell's gone, you know, wouldn't be too bad.
All right.
I'd be willing to try that.
I'm like nuts about fruit. Like I have a lot, and nuts actually on the topic of nuts. But I have a lot of fruit, like an alarming amount of fruit. I've never had a durian. I have to have one now. You have not sold them. In fact, you've done the opposite, but I still want to try one. And then we're going to compare notes. Okay, let's make it a date.
Absolutely. Good news is there's lots on the market this year, so you'll have to get out there.
I'm going to try them. Lydia Burton there. She's the host of the ABC's Country Hour in the Northern Territory. After the news, we're going to find out what's happening with Julian Assange and charges from the US, and also we're going to head to Fiji. But it's news time at 7.